Good morning. So this morning, we're reading from Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 to 43, and we're covering the subject of intelligence, which is an earth suit general need, right? Now, so far, we've covered in the book of Joshua, as a backstory to intelligence, we've covered how Joshua gained intelligence by sending the spies in to Jericho. We've covered how Joshua was intelligent by simply following the crazy instructions that Jesus, who appeared there as the man with the drawn sword, captain of the armies of God. And so he was told to march around Jericho on 7 days, once on every of the sixth day, and then 7 times on the last day, and then to blow with the trumpets and to shout, and the walls would come down. So they did this. Sounds impossible, sounds ridiculous, but when you're working with the supernatural and the spiritual, that's exactly what takes place. And so they conquered Jericho. But just one of the people disobeyed and took some of the things that were in there when everything had to be destroyed. And he kept it. Then we saw how they tried to attack Ai, which is a small little city, and they were beaten. And then they didn't understand how could their God have let them be beaten. But the reality is, God said he's not there. He's not with Israel, because Israel, not just that one person, Israel has sinned. And so as a consequence, they had to get rid of him and all of that which he had, and then they were pure again before the Lord. Then they attacked Ai, and they used intelligence again, God given intelligence. And Joshua was given the strategy on how to get Ai through ambushes and various other things, and then also was told that he had to hold out his spear for the entire battle, and he had to hold it out towards Ai. Again, seems crazy, but hey, when you're working with the supernatural, you do what God tells you to do. So he did that, and of course they won. Then the people in the area realized the only way we can do this is if we all unite together. And they did, excepting that the Hivites, which were also in the area, decided that what they were going to do is they were going to rather try to trick Joshua. Now, intelligence says, go to God with everything. When the Hivites came to them, the Hivites are often called the Gibeonites because Gibeah was one of the major cities. And when the Gibeonites came, they presented themselves as coming from another country. And they got a promise from Joshua that they would not be affected. And all the princes of Israel also promised, and they swear by the Lord God, that their lives would be spared. Well, they did not ask the Lord. The Lord would have told them, but they didn't ask. We see intelligence says, go to the Lord, because he's not going to come to you. He's not going to tell you things unless you ask him. He will not force himself on you. He'll let you make your mistakes. Well, that was a very big mistake. So what happened is the Gibeonites then were allowed to live, but because of their deceit, they were made effectively slaves. Instead of being killed, they were made slaves. And so we come to this point now where Israel has learned a few very important lessons, right? And so the Gibeonites had stepped away from their alliance with the other kings and those of that area and had rather gone this route. Of course, they didn't secure anything for the rest of the people. They only secured that for themselves. So now we come to chapter 10. Now we're reading from Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 to 43. As we read through chapter 10, you're going to see how more and more Joshua realizes that he has to work supernaturally with God. And therein lies the intelligence of Israel. And by the way, the intelligence of every Christian. You work God's way according to what he says, how he says it, and you do that. As crazy as it may seem, you do that. Obviously, we don't hurt people or harm people or animals or things like that. We love, we encourage, we strengthen, we work according to where God works, right? And we trust him. So, we're just going to read this through, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we will add that in. Right. Okay. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon, a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it greater than Ai, and all the men thereof mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together, and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servant. Come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in their mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, went up from Gilgal all night, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, when in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. More which died with hailstones, than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Okay, now imagine you are fighting this battle, and suddenly out of the sky come these stones. Now, it says they're hailstones, right? They weren't ice, they were rocks, right? But they came out and they destroyed so many of the enemy. Now, you need to understand something, because here we've got these rocks coming out of the sky, and you've got the Israelites fighting. Now imagine you are in the middle of a fight. You've got this person in front of you. Next thing, a stone takes this person out. How's this working? You're in the middle of this battle. You're hand-to-hand combat. And these stones are coming out of the sky. And they are hitting and killing people right in front of you. How does that work? Well, the only way this works is that every single stone is guided. Every single stone is guided. And we forget God commands his creation. It's his to command. He can tell a stone to move. He can tell a dust particle to disintegrate. He can tell a dust particle to grow into a rock. He can do anything he wants. Yes, he uses all sorts of forces that he's already created, and because he's outside of time, he can do all those sort of things. But he's not limited by physics. He can change the data on your system by simply flipping bits in your data so that things work and mean different things. He can change the sentences on your screen. He can make AI believe that something else is true when actually that's not the truth. He can correct all sorts of things that are taking place. He can change the data anywhere, anytime he likes. There is nothing outside of God's control. Nothing. That's why it's wise to fear God, because he can change even the fact that you even exist right now. You could just simply disintegrate into never having existed, which means your children disappear. This is God. And if you're going to be intelligent, you're going to work with him, not against him. But there's another side to this. You're in hand-to-hand combat. You're in Israel. Not one of the Israelites gets killed. It says here, in verse 11, and it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, wherein going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, and to Azekah, and they died, more which died with hailstones, than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now, Joshua does something else which is also very intelligent. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, so he says this so Israel can hear, sun, that is sun in the sky, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And then it goes, and it says here, not this written in the book of Joshua. So, corroborating evidence, go and have a look at the book of Joshua. It is a book that should have been part of the Bible, otherwise it wouldn't have been mentioned here. But it was one of those that are taken out because the book of Joshua really, really exposes Satan's ways and strategies and so many of the supernatural things as well. Be careful to get a valid copy of the book of Joshua. Now, it's really interesting. They've done reverse calculations of the movements of the planets and the stars, etc. And they've tracked back to this time. Now, prior to this, we have so much corroboration of the fact that Mars and Earth used to get very close together every second year. Right? Mars has a different orbit, but every second year we got very, very close. And according to the simulations, there was a time when Earth and Mars got so close together that they actually locked gravitational forces, and there was a massive slowdown of both of the bodies. Right? And so the Earth actually slowed down. If you have a look at this exact same time, there's something called the longest night, which is recorded in China. It's the exact same day. This longest day and that longest night corroborate. they're the same day. With a simulation, we can understand how God did it. He just brought one of his other planetary bodies to slow it down to do exactly what had been asked. But because God's outside time, he orchestrated the entire revolution of every single planetary body, including these stones that were going to be coming through. He organized this from outside of time. And so we are dealing with a God that is way more than we can comprehend. But he listens to our prayers. Now, does that mean that he's going to answer every one of your prayers like, you know, Lord, please make the sun stand still and all the rest of it? No. He will do this because it is going to further something that he has on his agenda. Israel was going to produce the Messiah. They were coming to try and wipe out Israel. That just was not going to happen. Right? Of course, Satan had many other tricks up his sleeve that he was going to try, but God thwarted them and used them. And actually, because God is outside of time, he allowed Satan to use them. Because what was Satan doing? God was using Satan to clean out the rubbish, to polish off and dust off and cut away that which was evil and wrong in Israel. Every time they were conquered and taken away, or whatever the case was, it was because Israel was doing something evil and God needed to cut it out. How did he cut it out? By getting rid of all the individual people that were causing the trouble. By the way, at the end we see, in the book of Revelation, we see that 2/3 of those in Israel are going to get killed. It's the 2/3 that are quite happy with things like full-term abortion, gay pride, everything God says and stands against. That's who's going to be destroyed. And God's going to do that because he's going to have a spotless bride by the time he comes back. And he's coming back to Jerusalem, but he's going to destroy all of that evil there. And it's going to be hard to watch. It's going to be confusing. Christians are going to wonder what's going on. I thought Israel could never be conquered. No, no, no. God is cleaning. And he's going to use evil to destroy evil. That's how he always has done it. So, carrying on in verse 13. So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it. By the way, as a consequence of Mars and Earth getting so close together and locking, when they did separate, they actually found themselves now in different orbits. And now, since then, they don't get so close to each other anymore. Which is a good thing. Because that kind of magnetism changes. It's why in the Bible you see, it talks about at the time when men go out for war. Well, that magnetic change of Mars and Earth being so close together really affected gravity, affected magnetism, affected so many things. And if you play with magnetics, you play with people's brains and their minds, and they become very aggressive, right? Or very docile. At the moment, they're becoming more and more aggressive because of the incoming binary system, right? Verse 14. And there was no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these 5 kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the 5 kings are found in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua did roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. and stay ye not, pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, and cast them into the cave wherein they had hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makkedah, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that therein he let none remain, and he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah, and all Israel with him, unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah, and the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam king of Gezer came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people, until he had left none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it, and fought against it. And they took it on that day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron. And they fought against it, and they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that therein, he left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. How did this start? How did this whole set of battles start? Some people chose to do true evil stuff, turn against God, serve Satan and his demons, mess with DNA, bring in evil spirits, listen to the fallen angels, corrupt that entire land. God says to Abraham that he's going to have a son and that many nations will come from him. God says to Adam, there will be a seed that will come. And that seed is going to conquer all. Not just the cities of this earth, but everything. God has promised these things and he's outside of time. He cannot change a promise. Once he's made it, it's made. And then, because he's outside of time, he makes sure it happens. You do not want to get on the wrong side of God's promises. Because when that place became corrupted, what did God do? God promised Abraham that his descendants were going to be 400 years in slavery. But that when they left, they were going to take all the spoil from that place. That's exactly what happened. But what was God actually doing in that time of slavery? You see, when your body goes through really difficult hardship, it strengthens. With all the bone breaking over those 400 years, their bones became so dense and strong. With all the tears of their skin and all those sort of things, their skin became thick. With all the issues that they had, they bred out all those that were weak. They became real super soldiers, all of them. When they left Egypt, they were on their way to the Promised Land. But the problem is, in their souls, they were still very corrupted. So God had to get rid of that generation in the wilderness so that a pure generation could come out, but still with all of the genetic makeup that made them super soldiers. And then God used them to go into this place that was so evil, so dark, so corrupted, and destroy it. And for quite some time, it was a really good, beautiful place. But again, Satan will always influence people to go and do wrong and evil things. And so corruption will start again. And they keep going through the cycle of corruption and destruction, and then regrowth, etc. All of this, again and again and again, to bring to the point whereby eventually you have the perfect vessel to be able to house the Messiah. So Mary was blessed, yes. Mary's not to be worshipped. She was blessed because God used her, yes. Does that mean that she has supernatural powers? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that Mary appears to everybody and you've got to go through Mary to get to Jesus? No, that's not true. Jesus is God. He is everywhere. Through the Holy Spirit, he is everywhere all the time. So, you look at the table or the car that you're sitting in or the people in front of you. Or anything you like. They are all made up of high-speed particles moving around. And they're all made up of balance of atomic and molecular structures and all that you see there. And then you have the souls and the spirits. Not only can God command the physical to change, adjust, be manipulated, he can do all of that. But he's doing something more important. He is raising the Bride of Christ. The Bride of Christ is going to need resistance. It's going to need resistance to grow. And he's allowing every single one of us, just like he allows the particles of atoms, etc., he's allowing every one of us to have choice. We can choose to be a part of his bride or not. When you are part of his bride and he's finished this process, you step out of these cycles of destruction and growth and you step into eternity with Jesus. Now this happens on a lifetime basis, right? So all the people that have died before are already there. Either they are there or they've been separated into a place where there will be judgment and all those that are going to be judged are going to be going to hell anyway. Because only the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that was made by the Messiah who came, to all those who have chosen Jesus, all of them, for he is the Messiah that's come. He is the one that paid. He is the one whose blood provides us that opportunity. It's our choice. We get to choose. Intelligence is understanding. God commands his creation. We can manipulate it. Satan can manipulate the creation. He can manipulate things in the spiritual realm. He cannot create and destroy. He cannot just command things. Only God can do that. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. When God says he's going to command his armies, tell me, how do you fight a trillion, trillion ants from suddenly everyone comes out from the ground? Everyone comes out from the ground and they just go over everything and they go over all people and all creatures. How do you fight that? There's no ways you're going to find enough insecticide or anything like that. How are you going to fight the kinds of plagues that you see in Egypt or those that are mentioned that are upcoming in Revelation? How do you fight darkness that you can't see through? How do you fight for 5 months a darkness that is so thick that it feels like it's holding you? And at the same time as the darkness, there are these entities that you can't see that can sting you like a scorpion, that you can hear coming, that you're so terrified that if you even breathe, they will hear you. How do you fight stuff like that? God commands his creation. Real intelligence is understanding who you're up against. And real intelligence is choosing to be where God wants you. Because he loves you. And he's trying to save you out of all those that don't love him. But it's your choice. He will never force you. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about. But if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your notes in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.